Today's Vision Sunday. And so if you're here today and you're not, regular attender, then this is going to be a little different kind of a service. And we have Cedar Rapids joining us today because the sister churches are really one church, just two locations. And so we want them to hear what, we're believing for here in Kansas City. And then also next Sunday, of course, you'll be live streaming that service into this service and be able to hear that. So we're glad to have Cedar Rapids with us. They're going to join their faith with us. Isn't it great to have people other than ourselves believe in God together? Praise the Lord. So I want to share, like I said, this is many of our services we have, just we feed the sheep and edify, build up the body of Christ in the Word and bring the Word of God that brings the knowledge of God to us. And so that's all appropriate. But today's kind of service is appropriate as well because we have, it's important if you go through the New Testament and you read scriptures that talk about, in fact, if you have a Bible, what do you call those, Bible program where you can look up word, look up things, look up New Testament words, one another. And you'll find there's supposed to be a lot of things we do with one another. Pray for one another, receive one another, bless one another, encourage one another. It's just it's a really fun study. And we're to be doing things together as well as we have our own Christian walk with God by ourselves in fellowship with God. But there's a lot of things God wants us to do together. If you read Acts chapter number 4, for example, they were in one place there and praying, and it says, and in one accord, and it says suddenly. Acts 1, they were in one accord, and suddenly. So God wants to do things in groups as well as individuals or through individuals. So we want to look at some things about the vision for 2025 for the Kansas City Church. And the Kansas City location. And I want to go to Habakkuk to start this morning, the second chapter. We're going to just share some things from the Word, and then we're going to share some things about the vision that we're going to put our faith on corporately. Because some things, it's not necessarily anybody else's responsibility to believe God for us individual. I'm talking about individually. And then yet some things, it's not as a where there's corporate ministry happening and a body of believers working together to bring God's plan to pass, such as in a local church in a city like this. That kind of thing is not just up to one man's faith. It's not just up to the pastor's faith. It's all of our faith joined together. We should all bring faith to that as well. So it is our responsibility to join our faith in that kind of a setting or situation. And so, what are we going to, if we're going to bring our faith to that, are we going to do, which direction are we going to put our faith on? What should we get in unity about? And here he addresses that in Habakkuk chapter 2. We'll read verses 1 through 3. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and will not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Praise the Lord. Those are good verses. And so he's telling this man, this leader in the people of God back then, he said, I'm going to give the vision to you, but I want you to write it down and so others can join up with it. Because this is not just for you here. He's talking to Habakkuk. It's not just for you, Habakkuk. It's for the whole, really, in this case, the whole nation to join their faith with what God's saying he wants to do. And so he said, write it down. Write the vision. I could teach on this for weeks and weeks, but we don't have that kind of time. So he said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. So some other people are going to join up in running with this. Others besides just Habakkuk. And they're going to bring their faith to this as well. And so the vision is yet for an appointed time. Some things God will show you in advance, not necessarily going to come to pass by tomorrow, but yet he said it will come to pass. He's asking us to believe for it. He's asking us to mix our faith with it, to agree with it. And so, but he said it will come to pass. And the thing I like about vision is that there's so much about this subject I like, but there's something about vision that just, it keeps you excited about tomorrow. Some people I meet, they don't have anything to look forward to, you know, and there's nothing exciting to look to, you know, they're just kind of in a ho-hum, managing the status quo kind of flow. But vision will get you out of bed in the morning. You know what I'm talking about? It'll get you out with excitement. If you have nothing to look forward to, you don't have anything to get out of bed for. But whenever you got something burning on the inside that God's put in your heart, that he wants to do in your life that has to do with the future. Oh, now there's something to get out of bed for. And so when it comes to leadership, when it comes to spiritual leadership in the body of Christ, you could say, getting a vision for what God wants to do and then making it plain to those that are following is actually a big part of leadership. It's a big part. And because one great need people have that are working together in corporate efforts, you might say. One great need people have is to know which direction we're going. You know, we need to know where we believe in. What are we believing for? Praise the Lord. And so leadership is responsible to lead cast vision and lead out in that kind of vision from the Lord, not to pick something out of their mind, but to actually hear from God, because that's the source of God. That's the source of what we're talking about today, the vision we're talking about today. There are other sources people have. They come up with their own plans, but we're talking about something that what is God's plan. And so, and then people that are inspired by it and called to it, to join faith with it, they will rally around that and join their faith with it and help, you know, labor in the work of God to help bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. A leader that, you know, doesn't cast vision that someone else can follow, he's not really leading, he's just taking a walk. There's nobody else following him, right? And so we want to all get on what the Lord's saying to believe for in 2025 and bring corporate unity to it. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, I think it's a verse you're familiar with, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keeps the law, happy is he. One translation said, rather than perish, they run wild. Without direction, in other words. So where there's no vision, the people don't have direction. Where there's nothing cast to the people as what's God's mind, what's his plan for us going forward, the people don't have any direction, so they'll go in all different directions. But how many of you know there's power in unity? All of us pulling in the same direction. Praise God. God's a God of vision. We'll see that here in a minute. Those receive God's vision and implement it, they actually frame eras of God in the earth. Amen. Past men of God, like we'll look at some of them real quickly this morning before we get into some things. They heard from God. God gave them a vision of what the future was. I don't mean necessarily a vision like falling into a trance kind of vision. I mean just he spoke to them and it created an inner picture of where their life was to go. And those people changed whole eras. We'll see that as we look here in just a minute. But really, a vision from the Lord creates a mission from heaven. It's like it creates an assignment. Does that make any sense? And so it gives focus to corporate effort. It gives purpose. Men of vision are men of purpose. They're not just, you know, kind of bouncing off of walls, or, you know, if that doesn't work out, then I'll go over here kind of thing. Just sort of bouncing around and going wherever circumstances, you know, pushes them, so to speak. No, men of vision, they're on a course, and they're making steps on purpose. And when things are opposing it, they don't start saying, well, I guess that's not the will of God, I'll go a different direction. No, they just stand there and use the name of Jesus to get through it. Praise God. And so a man that walks out divine vision given by God and agrees with it, he actually begins to step into divine purpose. Yes. Yes. Praise the Lord. So the greatest men in history who have ever lived in history have all been men of purpose. Men who have stepped into divine destiny, so to speak. Hallelujah. The really greatness is just simply in the plan of God for your life. You say, well, I want to do something great. Men of greatness in history, men of greatness in the Bible, they were all somebody who had a divine purpose and fulfilled divine destiny. Praise God. And so what we're going to share here and, you know, about vision before we actually get into some things, you should be doing this for your own family. What is your vision for the year 2025? You understand? I mean, you know, let's take different categories. What is your vision for spiritual growth in 2025? Well, and then what are you going to do to steward that vision? Maybe I know some have already begun to take the online, we'll talk about this in a little bit, the online Bible school that we have online, because they have a vision for some things God has in their life, for the plan of God for their life, and they have it in their heart. They're supposed to prepare by taking that Bible school. Well, that's spiritual preparation to walk out a God-given vision that God has given. And sometimes, because no vision comes to pass just because the vision was given, it has to be stewarded. And we'll look at that too. I won't take too much time with this, but we'll look at some of these things. So praise the Lord. So how about spiritually? How about financially? How about a vision for walking in love in a better way in your marriage? Woo! Maybe I should get off of that one, not spend much time on that. How about a vision for your own health or physical body? How about a vision for your family? Right? How about a vision for giving something to your local church? All these things, God's got things that he wants us to get into, but it doesn't happen just because we manage the status quo. We've got to take steps in order to get into what we really have in our heart God wants to do. Give God a job this year. You know what I mean by that? Lay out something that you believe God wants you to get into and begin to take steps for it, towards it, and give him something to do in your life. Hallelujah. All right, so a vast majority of our services are a little different, but we want to look at this morning. So this, if I could say this, just a couple more things I want to say. When it comes to leadership, like a big part of leadership is casting this kind of vision and being able to communicate it. Notice he said right in there in Habakkuk, write the vision. Write it down. In other words, make it plain. Communicate it. Communication of a vision enables somebody else to be able to see what you see. And if people are all looking at the same thing, seeing the same thing, then we can join together. I know over in the Old Testament, remember God's commentary on the Tower of Babel. Although the Tower of Babel wasn't godly, those people weren't godly people, yet God's commentary on it, he said, anything they get in agreement about and get in one accord about, they'll be able to bring it to pass. Now that's God's commentary on people without the power of God, without the Holy Ghost, doing something just because they're working together. How much more could we do it by the faith of God, the power of God, right? If we'll get in one accord and believe for the same things. Praise the Lord. I'm getting bubblies on the inside just talking about it. I call it the Holy Ghost bubblies, you know. Praise God. All right, so there's more that, you know, generally speaking, the vision here is for a local church. Which a lot of times folks don't know really a lot about a local church. They've never really been taught about it. You might think, well, we know what a local church is, but we're really studying the Bible about it. It's amazing how much different a local church actually is than what people think it is. And that's a whole, you want to get on the vault and look at that too. There's, I think, 16 services or so, maybe 14 services you can listen to on the local church. But generally speaking, that's the vision. It's a local church. It's a church that feeds the Word of God, a church that people can grow spiritually in, but not just feed the Word of God, but feed it on all different levels, like feed it to the youth of that on their level, feed it to the children on their level, and have different kind of classes where different age groups can get it in a different, you know, broken down in a different way, so to speak. And so, you know, generally speaking, that's the vision. But those kinds of things require certain natural things to be in place. In order to really facilitate those kinds of things, it requires certain natural things to be in place. So, there's going to be certain steps that we're going to be led to get to take steps in faith towards in order to get those things in place. Amen. And so really, you know, Vision Sunday, sometimes people kind of can get the wrong mindset about it. They can say, well, you know, you're just talking about natural things and so forth. Well, it's all to facilitate spiritual things, if I could say it that way. And so corporate effort needs someone to articulate a clear vision. And that in the setting of a local church would be a pastor. And so the vision of a ministry, of this ministry and any ministry really, is a message. It's the message of the Word of God. And in this case, specifically the message of faith. You know, all that has come into the body of Christ in the last, you know, 60, 70 years about the message of faith. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm so thankful God took me from where I was coming up spiritually. I got saved in a denominational church. I thank God for them. But I'm so glad he took me from that, which basically doesn't even exist today. I don't know where I'd be if I wasn't, you know, brought out from that. But it brought me over into a message that changed my life. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And so, you know, you could say the vision is a message, getting a message out. But it is a message that is connected to a movement of the Holy Spirit through certain endowments and ministry anointings and so forth. And we call the church Spirit of Faith. And that's not by accident. Spirit of faith is one of the main markers, I would say, of our ministries. And so we really, if you understand the spirit of faith, that's really what's going to bring Jesus back. You can see the Bible talks about the spirit and power, spirit and power of Elijah. Amen. The power of Elijah is the anointing. The spirit of Elijah is the spirit of faith. Elijah was bold and in faith about some things, and demonstrated the power of God to his generation. Praise the Lord. So that's the vision, you might say. But all those things are spiritual things, but they're carried out through certain branches of ministry that need to be put in place, certain things that need, you know, facilities and buildings and different things that need to be in place for those kinds of things to happen. We'll be talking about that a little bit. But vision today determines what we're going to be doing tomorrow. In other words, vision is something that is yet unseen, if I could say that. And so it brings unity to corporate effort. Let's just talk about what vision is a little bit. Would that be all right? And so really, vision is a gift from God because it gives, like I said earlier, meaning and purpose and direction to life. You know, rather than just sort of bumping through life and whatever happens, you know, whatever will be, que sera, sera. You know, how about what is God's plan for our life? So it's really a gift from God to give us purpose. And God gave us, really, he created every man, every human being. He created them with the need to have something to look forward to. I don't know if you've ever thought about that, but if you have nothing to look forward to, if you have nothing to look forward to different than the way it is right now, it kind of, it makes you apathetic. Any one of us can make us apathetic. But whenever we have this burning picture on the inside, you might say, of what God wants our life to be, it's exciting. Amen. It gives you a happy anticipation of something good or something better. Praise God. It produces excitement about life. Vision means seeing. It means revelation, seeing what God sees your life being with the eyes of your heart, seeing it on the inside. It's an inner picture. You might say, how does that come? It comes through God speaking to you. If you read, I didn't look it up, but there's a verse in the Old Testament that says God spoke to a man in vision.
Right.
Well, that's really the way, I don't know if you think about it, but that's the way all of us talk. All of us talk in vision. If I start talking about, you know, a vacation we took and the beautiful mountains and the streams and the valleys and the cabin up on the hill, and we could get up in the morning and watch the sunrise and the birds are flying by, all sorts. The more words I use, the more you start seeing it on the inside. And that's the way God speaks. He speaks like, really, we speak like he speaks. He speaks in vision. When he talks, he wants you to see it. And he's giving you the Holy Spirit to help you see it. Hallelujah. And he wants you to hold fast to what you saw when he spoke. Yes. Hold fast to it in faith so you can bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. So it means seeing, vision does. It means seeing, means revelation. Seeing what God sees your life becoming or being with the eyes of your heart. I love that definition. With the eyes of your heart. It's a revelation of the plans and purposes of God for your life. God has a plan for our life. You know, believers aren't supposed to make plans and ask God to bless them. Believers are to find out what his plan is. And that plan's already blessed. You take that path, that's the good life for you. Praise the Lord. We're going past a lot of things we could camp on for the whole service, but that's what it is. It's a revelation of the plans and purposes of God, what he has in mind. And you'll find that whenever you start walking out God's plan, God's vision for your life, you'll find that was the smartest thing you ever did in your life. Even though at the time it didn't seem like it was smart, but when you walk it out, you'll find, woo, looky, I didn't realize that God was going to lead me over here and take me over here and make me such a blessing here and bless me so much here. You'll find it was the wisdom of God. That's really what vision is. It's the wisdom of God for your life. Praise the Lord. And so it's really seeing what your life going the way God sees it on the inside. God has not called you to manage the status quo.
Come on.
Oh, but he has called you to fulfill divine destiny. And that happens by properly stewarding a God-given vision for your life. Do you know circumstances that kind of bounce people from one thing or to another is not being led of the Holy Spirit? We're not led by circumstances. We're led by the what God said to us and what the picture or the vision that gave us on the inside of what our life is supposed to be. But if we're not careful, we'll just circle the wagon, so to speak, and manage the status quo. I refuse to live the status quo in my life. People with a spirit of faith, they do not just stay where they are and be happy where they are. Now, I'm not saying don't be happy where you are, but I'm saying God always has a plan for more. He wants to reach more people. He wants to bless us more. He wants us to make us a greater blessing.
Amen.
Praise God. And so really vision, if I could give it a little bit more definition, it is a divinely empowered ability to see something that does not yet exist in the physical realm. But it is nonetheless real. Are you still glad you came? It's seen by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. It's not a product of the mind. It is something, and it's not conjured up in the thoughts, you know, by sitting around making mental plans. It is given by the Holy Spirit. and it enters into the spirit of man through revelation knowledge, not sense knowledge. And that revelation knowledge shows you something that your life is not right now. It's not the way that your life is right now. Oh, I like that. Revelation of what God sees. It's a picture painted on your life, on your heart by the Holy Spirit. And guess what? It's only going to be by God's power and God's provision that what he gives you a vision for will come to pass. Yes. None of us can fulfill, can accomplish a divinely given vision in our own abilities. Now, our plans, maybe we can, but not his plans. His plans call for his ability. Hallelujah. And so let's just look at a couple of people who got vision in the Bible. Remember Abraham, he received a vision of God gave him being a father of many nations whenever he was childless. But God said, I have made thee a father of many nations. How many of you know he didn't just sit around, twiddle his thumbs and say, well, God said it, it's automatic, it'll come to pass. No, he did something to steward that vision. Romans 4 tells us what it was. He called things that be not as though they were. See, he mixed his faith with that. Amen. Mary became a woman of destiny. How many of you know, by the way, Abraham, he became a man of destiny by stepping into the God's vision for his life. Mary also became a person of destiny, the mother of Jesus, because she did something. She received a divine vision of really bringing forth the Son of God into the earth. Nobody else has ever received that vision, and they never will again. But she did, right? And she had that vision, and that he would be the redeemer of mankind. The Bible says she stewarded that vision, and what'd she do? By agreeing with it, be it unto me according to thy word. And walking out steps of faith. You know, actually, God, one of the things she did to steward it was make a divine connection with Elizabeth, which was somebody further along in what she was walking in. Elizabeth didn't conceive by the Holy Ghost, but she did conceive supernaturally through her husband when she was not able to conceive. And so Elizabeth is, and the angel said for her to Mary, go connect with Elizabeth. And so the assignment to steward it was, connect with somebody that's further along in a similar faith journey that you're walking. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And so it has to be, these visions have to be stewarded, don't they? Noah, he became a man of destiny because he prepared for and fulfilled a vision of a great flood that would destroy the earth and God would start over with the righteous. Isn't that right? And what'd he do to steward the vision? The Bible said, and this is so key, this is in Hebrews 11, what is it, verse 8, I believe. It says, being warned of God of things to come, he prepared an ark. Ooh. See, some people, they sit around, twiddle their thumbs and say, God gave me a vision for this. What are you doing to get ready for it?
All right. Yeah. Thank
you. What are you doing to get ready? Faith gets ready. That verse said, Noah said, he by faith prepared. He got ready for it to come to pass. If you're not ready, getting ready for it to come to pass, then you probably don't believe it.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. And all God's people shouted, hallelujah. Joshua became a man of destiny because he carried out God's vision for bringing God's people into the Canaan's land. God gave him that vision. And so these and a lot of others in the Bible received a vision for what God intended their life to be. And they mixed their faith with it and it came to pass. Don't you like that? Praise God. Every time God wants to do something in the earth, throughout history, he calls a man and gives that man a vision of what he wants to do. And then that man works with God to bring it to pass because we're laborers together with God, aren't we? Praise God. I'm going to wrap this up in a bit, but I'm just wanting to give you a little bit of an idea of how important it is. Praise God. You know, if you don't have a vision for 2025 being anything different than 2024, guess what your life will be in 2025, just like 2024, and no better. I want something to, God wants all of our lives to progress, doesn't he? He wants us to go from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from increase to increase, strength to strength, more and more wisdom, more and more knowing him, and all of those good things. Praise God. And so it's important because this is really how God accomplishes his plan in the earth. Hallelujah. All right, so I want you to encourage you to seek God about what for your own personal life. Take the categories, like I said, spiritually. What's your vision for 2025? Well, I really wanna, you know, learn more about whatever subject you have in your heart. I really want my marriage to be this way or that way better. I want our marriage to not be getting stuck in this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Destiny doesn't fall on us automatically. Amen. It calls for your agreement of faith. A God-given vision is the blueprint for you to mix your faith with. Praise God. It's the blueprint for your faith. And it's used, that your faith is used to take a spiritual picture on the inside and create natural realities on the outside. Praise the Lord. Now, in order to share about the vision today, like we said, just say this one last thing. Without a vision, the people perish. They one translation says run wild. That means they stumble around without direction. Does that make any sense? So what we're sharing is today is to bring us all into a focus corporately. Now, your own personal life, you have things in your personal life. You and God work out. You and your husband, you and your spouse work out and get in agreement about and start marching towards that personally. But we're talking about corporately today. So are you ready to get into it a little bit? Hallelujah. So I'll tell you this, a divinely implemented vision will change you because you'll see things different. You can be living in circumstances that you don't like anymore, but you can be, even though you're living in those, you can be thrilled on the inside and excited because you see some things differently on the inside than what you're seeing on the outside. So I just wanted to share a little bit before we got into this, why this is important. And like I said, the vision here for Kansas City is for a local church. And so, you know, remember back whenever we had the new members classes here, was that maybe the end of September, beginning of October, whatever it was, before the new members Sunday. You remember we talked a lot about the local church. The vision is for a local church. And a local church is a place where the body of Christ gathers, the ministers gather, pastors in the local church setting gather, and we really come to hear from God, come to hear his word, right? And it's so important that we value that and that we recognize that 1 Corinthians 12:18 talks about he's placed us in the body as it's pleased him. There's a place in the body that it pleases God for you to be. Amen. Hallelujah. And so wherever that place is, connect, you know, jump in with both feet. Praise the Lord. And so when it comes to the vision for the future, I think we ought to take a few minutes and just look back at some victories from 2024, or, you know, we had some a couple months before 2024 we started. But just celebrate a little bit before we get into reaching for something more, right? Well, first of all, I think the first thing that we can celebrate, I think they got some screens on some of this, is that we accomplished 1 year, we arrived at a 1 year anniversary in October. I don't know if you know anything about church plants, but the first year is the most strategic. I mean, if you can make it through the first year with you're still above water, you're doing pretty good in the Hallelujah. So we completed the first year of a little over the first year now of ministry, and I thank God for that. The second thing we want to celebrate is that in 2024, I think maybe August or September, somewhere in there it happened, the church became self-sufficient financially. Now, you do you a survey in the body of Christ. That's a miracle right there. Amen. The congregation in Cedar Rapids received a big offering, I believe it was in 2022, for this church plant. Was that 2022, I believe? And I don't recall, $200,000 or something like that came in. And that was so helpful. I mean, you know, we had to buy all the equipment and we had to set up everything down here and set up the places for people when they come down to help. And I mean, there was money flying out the door quicker than I ever saw money flying out the door. I'm like, Lord be with you till we meet again, you know. Amen. But I'm so thankful for that. I mean, you all ought to turn around and say, thank you, Cedar Rapids, for your faithfulness. Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but I think it was somewhere around August, September, somewhere right in there, the tithes and offerings of the church here began to sustain all the monthly expenses. And it has. I think one month it was just shy of paying for the expenses, but every month since that time has been enough to pay the expenses here on its own. That's something to shout about. Amen. Because I'll just be honest with you, if it was necessary, Pastor Debbie and I just supported ourselves, just throw in the money ourselves. But thank God it's not necessary. Hallelujah. And then another thing where we can celebrate, you know, before we look into the vision for the future, is that the Cedar Rapids team that's traveling from Cedar Rapids every weekend has been cut in half. We were, I think, bringing down about 12, 13, sometimes 14. Every now and then somebody would ride on the roof and maybe 15 people would come down. I'm joking. We had two places down here for a good part of 2024. We had a condo, and we still have the house that people would come. Cause really, to be honest with you, after we did all the math and everything, it's a lot less expensive than getting hotels every weekend. So we just rented those two condos, it was a house and a condo, and we kept the condo up until, was it October 1st of this year, of 2024, and we were able to cut the Helps Ministry down that came from Cedar Rapids about in that time frame, October, because Helps Ministry here was stepping up and doing so much of the Helps Ministry here. So that's a big celebration. And to be honest with you, the 70% of the congregation here is now in Helps Ministry. So you could read or hear that, and you could say, well, then they don't need me. Well, we're still bringing six from Cedar Rapids because we still need the help. But right on the other hand, we're on our way. We're on our way. So thank you for all the time you've put into being trained and allowing yourself to get involved in the Helps Ministry. I want to thank God that, because whenever God put it in our heart to pastor two churches, I said, surely you want me to plant somebody to pastor in Kansas City. Us going back and forth, no, God, I have a better idea. I have a better idea. I'm kidding, you know. But my point is, I struggled with that for a while. And so, because I couldn't see how the schedule would work, so it was important that we have somebody here to help us, you know, minister to the people. And so that's why the Echols are here. And we thank God for them. And I give them a big hand. They're being a great blessing. Praise the Lord. And so, but that's, the other thing is that the schedule is actually working. A marvel of marvels, the schedule is actually working where we can pastor both churches. So God had that plan, and we're thankful for that. And so the next thing I just want to, you know, give God praise for, I don't know if you remember back sometime in the middle of the year, maybe May or something, I told you that the lovely people at some of the social media websites had cut off our ability to get the word out about the church. You know, God bless them. So I mentioned to that maybe May or June to you as a congregation to believe God with us to get that reversed, and it did. It got reversed. So I think now for what, three weeks maybe, we've been able to advertise again. And, you know, today social media is sort of the yellow pages of the 1970s. Anybody old enough to admit you're old enough to remember the yellow pages? Well, they don't use that much anymore, but you can. Social media is the place to get the word out. So thank God we've been getting the word out again the last 3 weeks. That's been necessary. So that's a good report. Praise the Lord. Let's switch now to what we're going to believe for in 2025. Would that be good? Some of these things might not seem that huge in the grand scheme of things, but yet we're taking things in stages. We're taking steps of faith. You ever read Hebrews talks about, no, Romans 4 talks about the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. We take steps according to the measure of our faith as a church. And although maybe it's small steps at the beginning, yet right on the other hand, that's the good way to develop your faith, is just taking steps. Proverbs 27:23 says, this is a verse God has spoken to me about a lot. Proverbs 27:23, be diligent to know the state of thy flocks. Well, I think he's talking about taking good care of even animals. But yet, right on the other hand, how many of you know we're the flock of God as the people of God? And as pastors, a pastor needs to know where his congregation is and not try to take them faster than they're ready to go. Does that make sense? A good pastor knows the measure of the congregation's faith and doesn't overwhelm them with huge projects that they can't stay above water on, I've learned this over the years. Faith is built on successive successes. Even if it's a little success. Hey, if it was where your faith was, praise God. That was small, but it was a success. Let's take another step and get into another realm of success. And if you'll do that, it won't be long. You'll be taking big steps. Because your faith develops that way. It doesn't just develop by feeding on the word. It develops by taking steps and getting God's results. So anyway, so we're going to just share some things, get some things rolling. And to be honest, next Sunday, we're going to share something else. I can't share it this Sunday for certain reasons, but tune in next Sunday. We'll be sharing something else. But I just wanted to share this. Sometimes congregations, it takes time for a congregation to sort of get in unity and really put a local church high on their list of faith projects, And so, that doesn't happen by, whipping the people and you need to come get in with us, How many of you know the Holy Spirit doesn't whip? The Bible talks about about the gift of prophecy, for example, that the Holy Spirit, he speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. None of that's a whipping. Right? It's edifying. It's encouraging. And so that's how a good leader will bring the congregation along. Just keep encouraging them. Keep building them up. Feeding their faith. Praise the Lord. Sometimes whenever people first come into a church, you want to congratulate them whenever they have the faith to get to service 2 Sundays in a row. Whoa! Whoa! Yeah! Whoa! Congratulations! How you heck? You are awesome. Woo, praise the Lord. That's a step of faith. So to put a big faith project on them that they're just not there on, it's probably not real wise. Tell your neighbor, we're getting past that. Amen. And so no leader can really take a congregation quicker than they're ready to go or they're willing to go. But a good leader will nurture their faith and gently bring them along and encourage them. Praise the Lord. I've found if you go to whipping people, they scatter like cats. And let me tell you something else. They should. That's not good leadership. That's not good leadership. Amen. And so we have many things we'll be putting in place to continue to grow the church, but we'll talk about it in a minute that the reason that's not going to be doing, we're not going to be doing it right away. Well, the first thing that I want to say about the vision is God spoke to me back really before we even started regular Sunday morning services. He said to me that the first phase, now this is more than I have time to get into, but everything in everybody's life has phases. Ministries have phases. we ought to be progressing through the phases of ministry. And I don't have time to get into all that, but basically I heard the Spirit of God say the first phase of Spirit of Faith in Kansas City is 80 people. 80 people. Now somebody said, explain why that's important. Well, I could speak in tongues and explain it, but I really don't understand. I don't really understand why that's the way he said it. I've just learned over the years, just take what he said. I sense there'll be a transition possibly to another building. I can't tell you, I mean, I don't want you to think I'm saying today that's what it will be when we get to that point. I can't tell you because the Lord didn't tell me. But he just said the first phase is, 80 people. So that's what we're believing for. How can you help us? You can help us by getting the word out, inviting people. Amen. Drag that mean mother-in-law to church. She might get saved. I'm just kidding. I got to keep it fun, right? But yeah, my mother-in-law is not mean. She's a sweetie. But the point is just get the word out. Tell people about the church. Because it's helping you, feeding you, and God wants that for other people. And really, the word is getting out a lot more than probably most of us can see just on social media. There's things being pushed now big time and getting the word out. But you can help us and believe God for that, because it's not, somebody said, well, it's not about numbers. Well, that's true. Somebody said, do you count people? Well, yeah, because people count. That's the way I like to say it. People count. People are important. And God wants to reach more and more people, right? So anyway, that's one thing you can join your faith with. And I'll be honest, next Sunday, we're going to have a sheet it's a printout for you that you'll be able to see it'll have this list of things we're believing for on it. Actually, a list of things from the Cedar Rapids Church and the daycare too. Well, that way you can put it on your refrigerator or whatever. And every time you look at it, say, Father, I thank you. This is all coming to pass at our church. Praise the Lord. So that's one of them. Now, another one, it might seem like we talk about it a lot, but it's such a big important thing, is faithful and skilled helps ministry. Amen. We got a lot of things on our hearts to impart into the congregation, and the city needs a functional local church to where this message can be preached. And so really to have that place where that kind of utterance can take place, where that kind of setting can be in order, where things can take place like that, there has to be a functioning ministry as far as people helping to make that ministry function. I would be more than glad to be the usher, be the greeter, be the everything that I could, but I can't do it all. Pastor Debbie can't do it all. But we're not called to do it all. You know, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about helps ministry. And that's something that all of us should be able to bring our supply to. We should think of ourselves as somebody that should be a part of helping. I think a local church is a little bit like a family, you know, a local, your home and your family. As your children grow, it's not okay that they just eat off your table and sleep on your bed. They got to start doing something around the house, right? Is that right, Brother Azzy? I mean, they might have you start cleaning your room and take out the trash and maybe start sweeping on Saturdays and, you know, certain things that as they grow, they get to get involved, right? So that's the way I believe a local church is a lot like a family. And so we encourage you to get involved like that if you're not already. Many of you are, of course. But anyway, for a local church to have a you know, a place where a table can be spread every Sunday and utterances can come and things can happen and the Spirit of God can move, there's a lot of things that have to be in place working, you know. Different things have to be in place. So helps ministry is oftentimes how that happens. And that can help us get the word out to more and more hungry people whenever that's functioning right. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so the plan of God doesn't come to pass just because we pray it out. We must pray it out. I'm not minimizing that. You'll hear me talk about something here in a minute that'll show you that we're not minimizing that. But it doesn't just come to pass because we pray it out. It comes to pass because somebody serves that plan. There's a verse in Acts 9, 25 that says, you know the story of Saul, whose name was changed to Paul. He was converted and the Jews wanted to kill him, you remember? And he had to be let down. Once one of them made, or a couple of them made a vow to, you know, not eat again until they killed him. Well, so some of the disciples found out about it and they let Paul down over the edge of the city wall in a basket. You remember that? And Paul lived to preach another day. Isn't that right? If you think about it, really, Paul's ministry was them helping Paul escape that. Let me say it this way. I think I'll make it clear by saying it this way. The men who were on the end of that rope, letting Paul down off of that over that wall, they probably didn't realize they had over half of the New Testament in that basket that they're getting ready to. Thank God for somebody holding the rope up there. They might have thought we're just helping Paul escape, but really, Paul's getting ready to write half of the New Testament. Boy, those guys get a reward when they get to heaven. Well, they're in heaven, of course, but how many of you know somebody served that move of God? Paul was the one that brought the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter's main assignment was to the Jews. Paul's main assignment was to the Gentiles. And that movement to the Gentiles was in that basket. Or one of the main men that spearheaded that movement to the Gentiles was in that basket. Thank God somebody served that move of God. Because you know what? All of us are sitting here today because the gospel got to the Gentiles. I want to meet those men when I get to heaven. Don't you want to meet those guys? Thank you, thank you, thank you. You helped get the gospel out to the Gentiles, and that's me.
That's huge. Yes. Hallelujah.
So the plan, that's why I said the plan of God doesn't come to pass just because we pray. I am not minimizing prayer. We're going to get some things rolling here about prayer. But it has to be served. Praise God. And so, really, that's the plan in any local church, that there be people that serve the plan of God, serve it by helps ministry. And the plan has always been here in Kansas City for a period of time that some of the Cedar Rapids staff and helps ministry in Cedar Rapids and leadership and so forth, they attend weekly services here to help in helps ministry, of course. But not only that, but to help establish helps ministry here. And it might sound like we're making a big deal of it, but it is a big deal. I don't know that most people realize how big of a deal it is. And so everyone that's coming from Cedar Rapids, they're not just to serve, but they're to train. They're here to train and show and demonstrate how to serve and train and so forth so that helps ministry can be established here. Amen. And so we thank God for those that have been coming. And gradually, as the Lord adds to the church and as those of us here step up, we'll cut down the team less and less and less. I'm looking forward to that Sunday where nobody from Cedar Rapids had to come because Kansas City is fully up and running. Praise the Lord. That's part of what we've had in our hearts, and so that's why we're believing God. Part of the things we're believing God for is faithful and skilled helps ministry. Praise the Lord. We're going to have various things in place eventually to train, and we'll tell you when that's coming, helps ministry in even a more way, but we thank God for those that have been coming. How many of you know this ought to be a good time to thank everybody from Cedar Rapids that's been coming? Don't you appreciate them? Praise the Lord. And some of them are in Cedar Rapids this morning. They're part of the ones that have been coming every weekend. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. And another thing that gets to happen by them being here and so much is that relationships get to be formed. And they can sort of, kind of help the camaraderie between the two churches. and kind of help keep us a big family, although we're in two different locations. Praise God. Big thank you to them. Next, we're going to talk about something that we have shared. Are these all up there already? Yeah, that is the church building and also a daycare building. It'd be hard to overstate the importance of this. And I'll tell you why. Some of the things that I haven't shared yet in about some of the classes we want to do for Helps Ministry and so many other departments, that enables us to do that. We really can't rent this facility at certain, much of the time during the week, really, or midweek service. We just started midweek already. I'm talking about regular midweek services here. If it wasn't for, this building's not available. And things like that. But that's why this needs to be something that we're actively using our faith for. And for our own building. Praise God. The Lord has put this in my heart. If you think about it, our own building would enable us to do so many things and develop so many things. Take, for example, midweek services, which I just mentioned, special meetings, camp meetings. Some of you came to camp meeting in Cedar Rapids back last August, and you're like, "Woo, we want that in Cedar Rapids. I mean, in Kansas City." Well, so do we. So do we. But we're believing God for the kind of facility where we can do that kind of thing. Right now, we can't rent this out in the middle of the week. I actually have a guest minister in my heart. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to do it this year. But somebody that I believe God wants to come here to Cedar Rapids. If I called his name right now, everybody would instantly know who he was. But anyway, it's just so necessary to have the right building to do that. And so many things, like I just said, camp meetings, special meetings, weekend meetings, family ministry. We call them Get a Grip classes. I don't know if you know what those are. There's a series we've been doing in Cedar Rapids for years called Get a Grip. There's several different lines of study. One of them, just get a grip on the basics of the Bible. Another one's get a grip on Helps Ministry. So forth and so on. And we take people through those classes that maybe are newer, or those classes are required for certain functions in the church. And so Get a Grip classes, youth ministry. Yes. Hallelujah. That's really necessary. But those things are much more doable if we have the building. We also, Pastor Debbie just reminded me, every Sunday morning in Cedar Rapids at 8:45 before Sunday morning service, we have a class on healing, because Brother Higgins said, and I like this, it's important. He said you should feed on faith and healing all the time, because the time will either come and where you'll need it in your life, or somebody else that you know is going to need it. And so we have a constant, I think most every Sunday morning, maybe a few breaks there, but a class on healing, where people that are being attacked with attacked in their physical bodies, they can come and just get fed the Word of God along that line. And so those kinds of things are able to be put in place with our own building. Well, I want you to see a couple of pictures. We've shown you this before, of a building here in town. It's the Missouri Road building. I don't know if you've got that first picture. Let's see here. This is 470. You can see there. That's a little hard to see. You see I got a pointer here. Let's see here. If I can see that little right there. That is the location. Let me kind of give you an idea. This is the airport. Right here, Lee Summit Airport, and this is 470 coming around, and right there across, kind of from the airport, we kind of fly over it sometimes, is a building that's been empty for what, 3 or 4 years maybe, something like that. Oh, 2019, wow. It was Grace Point, I believe, was the name of the church that was there. And that building's been sitting there, and God showed us that building probably a year ago or more, and that building never has left us. Never has left us. And so we call it the Missouri Road building, because this little road, this little side road, I can't hardly get the dot on it, but that's Missouri Road right there. This, I believe, is Colburn, I believe. Does that give you an idea where it is? Right there's Colburn. And so Anyway, that building is just, it just keeps standing out to us. How many of you, I remember, was it the anniversary Sunday or something, I brought this up. And that building is, let's see here, it's actually two buildings. Let's look at the next picture. Okay, right there is the picture. I think this building right here is 12,450 square feet. This addition over here was added a number of years later and more recent time, and that's about 4,800 square feet. It is sitting on 13.2, I believe, 13.2 acres. And it's just raw, all around, it's just sort of raw land. And so you can see this from 470. If you look on the, when you're going around, if you're going up to the north, you can look on the right. And so this building really, it can be purchased. They've had it on the market for sale for a long time. They actually had some sort of agreement on it with somebody, and that fell through. I really believe it belongs to the Spirit of Faith Family Church.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So that's something that's in the vision for the future of the church. There's 13.2 acres. The reason somebody said the reason hasn't sold. I believe the reason it hasn't sold, to be honest with you, is because it belongs to us. But I believe in the natural, there's some things that developers, they're trying to sell it as a development where it could be redeveloped. They just push the church building over and redevelop it, maybe whatever, retirement homes or apartments or something, because it's prime property. They had it on the market for, Brother Brian, 4.2 originally, million. Originally 4.9. Are they down to 4.2 now? Anyway, so we keep talking to them about it. Praise God. And we're going to keep talking to them about it, because something is going to happen. Somebody said, well, why don't you just go get it? Well, do you want me to send the bill to you, or what do you want me to So I believe something's gonna happen. God's been working on something. I really believe that behind the scenes where we can't see, there's been some things working. And so I don't know how, but that's not my department. I believe that that belongs to us. And so we're gonna keep on talking to them. We're going to keep on saying that that building belongs to the Spirit of Faith Family Church. And I would love for you to get in agreement with us on it. The main building there with the steeple on it is, of course, that's where the auditorium is. And we'll show you pictures on the inside. There's a little close-up. Back out to that picture we just left. This building over here was added as a wing. And it's, 4,800 square feet, I believe. It was built as a daycare. A daycare is a big part of the vision. In fact, the Lord very specifically spoke to me and said, when the church gets up and running down here, the daycare is a part of the vision down here as well. Because Cedar Rapids has a very, in the church building there in Cedar Rapids, very functional, thriving daycare. We get people saved, we get kids saved, we have events where the parents, they come and they get saved. We get kids laying hands on the sick. We get kids laying hands on grandma and she gets healed. It is a thrill, I'll be honest with you, to have the daycare there in Cedar Rapids. And it's an outreach, really. It's a wonderful functional outreach. And anyway, but that's the vision for here. And looky. A building with a functional daycare that even has the little kiddie toilets in it. It's all set up for a daycare. It's got the proper doors. It's got, it meets codes for a daycare. And wow. Yeah. And so that's just sitting there empty. How many of you know that ought to be working for the kingdom of God right there? So that building just keeps standing out to us. It was formerly owned by a church, of course, actually still is owned by a church. They moved over, where did they move? Raytown, yeah, they moved to Raytown. So that's there. And really, if necessary, and I don't know, you know, we just follow the leading of the Lord, we could buy it and then subdivide some of it off and sell part of that 13 acres. But we would need a few acres for the little kiddos to go out there and run around, you know. Because we want them, when we send them back to your house, to be tired so they'll go to bed. Yeah, they actually talked about that, but they haven't subdivided it themselves. So anyway, we're being led. And we're taking steps of faith, and you're joining your faith with us, right? Okay, let's go to another picture. There was a close-up. Okay, this is the interior of the auditorium. We took a tour a while back on this, looked at the whole building, and boy, does it need a lot of work. But, you know, that's not unusual. Most buildings do. So it's I don't know what it would seat there, 250 or something like that, did they say? Is there another picture? I think there's one more picture. Yeah, that's the congregation in it, the previous congregation in it. So how many of you know, does that get anybody excited?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10, 15, there's a couple statements in the verses 15 and 16 that I want to read. He said, when your faith is increased, that he said, I'm encouraged that when your faith is increased, we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. I'll kind of give you the setting, what's happening here. Paul's writing to the church. He said, I'm going to come see you, writing to the church at Corinth. I'm going to come see you. And he said, when I get there, you joining your faith with me will get me on down the road to some further regions I need to preach the gospel in.
Yes.
Paul was a apostle. He was going out into regions that didn't have any churches. He's planting churches. That's what an apostle does. He plants churches. And so he's saying, by you joining your faith with, I'm going to come see you, because he had already started that church. And he said, when I get there, you're going to join your faith with me. And by you mixing your faith with me, I'm going to get to some things that I haven't gotten into yet. And there's going to be an enlargement by joining their faith together. I'm asking for you to join your faith together with us to get into an enlargement here. Does that make sense? Praise the Lord. And so, really, you know, we're building together. We're building the plan of God together. We're building our faith together. And I don't know how God's going to do it, but somehow or another, I believe that's coming into the name of the church. And the cool thing is about it, you know, as far as you've got to think practical as well as, you know, ministerially. But practically speaking, the daycare could help fund the purchase of the building. Because a functional daycare can help do that. So anyway, are you on board with that? Praise the Lord. It has great value. I understand the value because it's a highway, you know, frontage right there along the highway. And it's worth some money. But whatever God wants to do to get us into it, we'll just say thank you.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I'm excited about that. Because like I said, it enables us to do so much more. You realize if with our own building, I mean, if we needed to do something on Monday night or Sunday afternoon or Sunday night or whatever, you can just do it. And that's what I believe God wants us to do. So the last couple things, we'll wrap this up. The last couple things we want to say is there are two things here. Oops, I got a couple more things. There are two things here. One is we wanted to inform you of the Gem Vault. I think most of you know about it, but that contains 60 series of teaching between Pastor Debbie and I, 515 audios, 14,180 hours of teaching, and it's all available on the Gem Vault on the website, free. You can stream it, you can download it. And 14,000 hours. I'm tired just thinking of that. Didn't know I preached that much. But so that's a lot, but that's available. And I encourage you, if you are hungry for, I think it was last Sunday, somebody, two Sundays ago, somebody was asking about you know, how can I learn more about this subject? And I was able to say, the gem vault. Go to the gem vault. There's teaching on there. So I just want to remind you that that's available. That's a way you can sort of grow in some of the things. You might hear us preach something in the service, say, I want more along that line. You can go to the gem vault. It's free, no charge there. The gem partners, I call them gem, J. Eberly Ministries, the short for it is gem, gem partners. They provide that for us free of charge because of their giving. They provide that. So that's available to you. And also, I want to inform you that we have an online Bible school. It's called Spirit of Faith Bible Training Center. Isn't it? Yeah. So anyone who's interested, they can go through that. There are... we did a Bible school, a live Bible school in Cedar Rapids in 2017. Somewhere in there, and that Bible school is now all online, and you can take that Bible school and actually get a certificate of completion and be a certified Bible school graduate after probably take you a couple years, but that's available on there. You can go through a certificate program, or there's just a program to where you can, let's say you want to just, I'm really hungry for more on the subject of righteousness. Then you can just pay for one single class on the subject of righteousness if you would like to do that. And you wouldn't necessarily get a certificate of completion for the whole Bible school, but that's a faith builder, right? And so those are available. I just want to let you know that. And then a couple of last things. Are you still with me? This won't take long at all. There's two things we want to start doing. Next month is February. One of them will be in February. One of them will be sometimes this first quarter. One is we're going to start on February the 4th, just a couple weeks from now. We're going to start a once a month Tuesday night prayer meeting at the house here that the church has that we stay at whenever we come. Once a month on Tuesday nights, prayer meeting at the house. We've had several of you ask us, how can we get together and pray? Well, we're setting that up. It's been on our heart for a long time. We actually tried to do it last fall, and the schedule was just wasn't working. And so, but we're getting it to work. Praise the Lord. So it'll start out once a month. It won't stay just once a month. We'll add to it, but we got to get started. So that's going to be, the first night's going to be February the 4th, and you can make that note. We'll get the information to you about the location. I think many of you have been to the house, but we'll get you that address, and we invite you to come. Pastor Debbie and I think both of us will be there that particular time, and we'll start praying together, believing God together. How many of you know we need to be like the church in the book of Acts? They prayed together in one accord. And so we'll be talking more about that. So put that on your calendar so you can make sure and make plans to be a part of that. Some of these things we're going to do on Tuesday nights, because eventually when we have the building to do it and so forth, we'll be starting a Tuesday night, midweek service. Yeah. That way, since we have two midweek services in the churches, one in Cedar Rapids, one here, we're going to do this one on Tuesday night. So that will be coming at some point, but we're going to start prayer there in the house. And if we run out of space in the house, we'll do something. But we don't want to stop praying once we get started. That'll start on February the 4th. The next thing that we're going to do is we're going to launch what we call the Forerunners Fellowship Group. The Forerunners Fellowship Group is a fellowship for those 55 and older. And we're going to start a fellowship group for those 55 and older. And what that's going to consist of to begin with, it'll probably just be like once a quarter to begin with, where anybody 55 or older, they'll all go do something together. I don't know what all, you know, it'll be, but Brother Andre and Maya are going to lead it. And they have graduated from back in Cedar Rapids. They were over the next level group. The next level group is the group from 18 to 30. And I told him, I said, I know you're not 55, but this is a promotion for you. So No, somebody needs to coordinate it, and we have many things that we can share about what we want to do. But anyway, those of you 55 and older, we invite you to be a part of that. We'll be announcing in the first one here in a little bit, a couple weeks. But you might say, well, I'm not 55, but my spouse is. Well, the way we would do it is if your spouse is 55 and you're 50-something less, then you're welcome to come. You're welcome to come. Amen. So I think it's important that churches have more than just, you know, come to church times, but there's fellowship times. That our group in our 55 and older group, we call them Forerunners, in Cedar Rapids, they love this time. Oh, they love it. I think in Cedar Rapids, at least, the 55 and older group is the funnest group in the whole church. I don't know why these young people don't know how to have fun. But, yeah, we'll have other groups too. We'll eventually be starting other fellowship groups. But you'll really enjoy it. Come out and be a part of those. You'll really enjoy getting to know one another. You'll get to know one another in ways you don't on just on a Sunday morning. And that's a good thing. But what are some of the fun things? I don't know. Yeah. Oh, tours of things, fun things in the city. it's just a lot of fun. I don't think anybody has to be afraid of. We won't be doing skydiving or anything like that. It'll be something everybody can enjoy. But I really encourage you to be a part of that, and enjoy one another's fellowship. Isn't that good? Fellowship's important in a local church. Very, very important in a local church. Praise the Lord. So that'll be starting. We'll be eventually here in the next, I don't know how many weeks it'll take to get the first one set up. We'll be announcing the first one, and you'll want to go to that. Normally it's on a Saturday afternoon or something like that. We once tried to do it on Friday nights, and that wasn't working real well. Maybe it'll work here, but whatever works, we'll do something on Friday night or a Saturday afternoon or something like that, and you'll enjoy it. Sometimes it's going out to eat together also some kind of different kind of place, maybe one of those Japanese steakhouses where they make it in front of you. Just fun things like that, whatever. Some of you have good ideas maybe of some places that, some fun things in the city. I know this, Kansas City has a lot more fun things than Cedar Rapids does. So there ought to be plenty of things to do, right? So praise the Lord. Next Sunday and the 19th, next Sunday in Cedar Rapids, we'll be sharing the vision for the Cedar Rapids Church, and we'll be laying out some things we're going to be doing, some campaign, or at least I should say one campaign we're going to lay out for the church there, and we encourage you at that time to listen, and if you would like to participate in that, then we invite you to join that, but that'll come next week. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Are you glad you came this morning? Yes. Do you see these things here? I'm talking about vision this morning. Can you see a church of 80 people to begin with?
Yes.
You say, "What? Isn't it going to go beyond?" Oh, yeah, it'll go beyond that, but this is just the first phase. I told the church at Cedar Rapids, how do you eat an elephant?
One bite at a time,
right? And so can you see a church of 80 people?
Yes.
Can you see a thriving helps ministry here?
Yes.
Where Cedar Rapids has to actually come learn from you because you're doing such a good job?
Yes.
Yeah, and can you see the church building that we talked about?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And all these things that we mentioned. So I believe that these are things we ought to get in agreement about. Let's stand to our feet this morning. We've gone a little longer than usual. Thank you for your patience. Praise God. I know it's a little different kind of service, but these kinds of things are necessary. Praise the Lord. Would you just raise both hands this morning? And say this out loud. Father God, I thank you for my local church. I thank you for having a place, for me. You had me in mind when you raised up this local church. I'm so grateful, Father. Thank you for your plan. Thank you, Father, for what's ahead. The future is bright. We lay hold of it by faith. Thank you, Father, for the church building. Thank you, Father, for church growth of 80 people. Thank you, Father, for a strong helps ministry. Thank you, Father, for all the supply financially, for everything that is being laid out as a vision this morning. We give you praise for it, Father. In Jesus' name, it will all come to pass because you are faithful and we're trusting you. You're our strength. You're our ability. And you're our source. It will all come as we trust you and we say we do trust you. In Jesus' name, thank you for showing me my part in it, and I will bring my part in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. We're going from glory to glory, from faith to faith, and from strength to strength in Jesus' mighty name. And the voice of this ministry will be enlarged in the Kansas City Metroplex. To the glory of God, in Jesus' name, amen. Give God a shout this morning. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, we bless you, we bless you. In Jesus' name. Bible said, don't despise the day of small beginnings. Glory to God. So we thank God for what he's already done. But the best is ahead. Isn't that right? You want us to come and say anything, sweetie?
We are going to provide ministry if anybody needs it today. But I just wanted to say, you're putting your faith with this. And we need you to understand what we're doing in Cedar Rapids as well as here, because we're sister churches. Yeah. And we can use our faith for one another and put our faith out. Now, the only thing I wanted to say very quickly is, years ago, I remember somebody saying to us, you know, we want this group, we want this program, we want this. And we just told them, look, we will do what God puts in our heart. But if you'll stay, if you'll stick, if you'll pray, if you'll use our faith, you'll give your tithes and offerings, it's all coming to pass. And they left the church, and now we have all that. I'm just saying, they missed out.
And I
don't know where they went, if they ever found what they were looking for. But what I'm saying is, they didn't contribute where they were. Therefore, they didn't have what they desired. So we know that your hearts are to contribute in the ways that God deals with you. But, you know, putting your faith in, I just wanted to mention that, sweetie.
I think a lot of times people see a church functioning and see ministries developed and so forth, kind of think it's automatic. But that's because people serve. And they bring their time and so forth. So you're doing that. Thank you so much. And we'll get it all done.
And I think people look at this, say, this is bigger. There's a worldwide ministry that is being fed here, and these local churches are base churches to train people, and just Christians. Not everybody's in the ministry or called it, but as Christians. And this will be a base of prayer. This will be a base of many. You know, it's coming. It's all come to pass. And this is larger than ourselves. But we've got to do it God's way and not get out ahead of where our faith is.